Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Several years ago, I was reading an advertisement, and it was after I'd got several calls. A few years into the church starting, I seemed to have a lot of contacts in the church world because of the stuff that I had previously done that was associated with the church. And I was getting calls asking if I would be interested in coming for a time to preach and to be in view of a call, is what they call it in a lot of different denominations. Churches that were in need of a pastor had heard that I was preaching, and they called and said, hey, would you be interested in coming to, and then whatever their church was. And it was several different ones and different denominations. And so I was kind of studying a little bit about pastors and about the different pastors across the country. I wanted to know why that there was churches that were in such need of someone. Because it was just a little overwhelming when the pastor would leave, how the church would a lot of times start really failing and not standing up and waiting for the next pastor. And I know there are times that a pastor leaves for whatever reason, and there are times that pastor may get old. That does happen. And they step down, and they're looking for someone else to come in. And I get all that. Well, I was looking at different pastor jobs that were on the internet, and I found a very unique statement, this advertisement for a pastor. And I've kept this in my files for years, and I wanted to share it this morning. It says, wanted, minister for growing church. Now, I don't know if that meant a church that is growing or a pastor who would grow a church. I mean, you know, you could read that either way. Wanted, minister for growing church. Here's what it said. A real challenge for the right man. Opportunity to become better acquainted with people. Applicant must offer experience as shop worker, office manager, educator, all levels including college, artist, salesman, graphic designer, market experience, diplomat, writer, theologian, politician, camp director, children's worker, minor league athlete, psychologist, vocational counselor, psychologist, funeral director, wedding consultant, master of ceremonies, circus clown, missionary, social worker, and event coordinator. Applicant should be everyone's friend, but cannot have close friends so as not to offend others looking for a close friendship. Helpful, but not essential. Experience needed as a butcher, a baker, a cowboy, Western Union messenger. Also know all problems of birth, marriage, and death. Knowledgeable about the latest theories and practices in areas like pediatrics, economics, and nuclear science. Right man will hold firm views on every topic, but is careful not to upset people who disagree. Must be forthright but flexible, returns criticism and backbiting with Christian love and forgiveness, should be outgoing, friendly disposition at all times, should be a captivating speaker but should not get upset if people can't remember what he spoke about only a week ago. He should be an intent listener, must enjoy listening to people talk. Education must be beyond PhD requirements but always concealed in homespun, modesty, and folksy talk. Able to sound learned at all times, but most of the time talks and acts like good old Joe. Familiar with all types of sports, literature, movies, and music that people in this area engage in. Must be willing to work long hours, subject to phone calls or texts anytime, day or night. Must be adaptable to sudden interruptions. Will spend at least 25 hours preparing a sermon that people will forget in less than an hour. Must spend an additional 10 hours reading books and magazines for further education. Applicant's wife. I like what they're saying about what they're looking for here. Applicant's wife must be both stunning and plain. Smartly attired but conservative in appearance. Gracious and able to get along with everyone, especially women. Must be willing to work in church kitchen, teach classes, babysit, never listen to gossip, and never become discouraged. Applicant's children must be exemplary in conduct and character, well-behaved, yet basically no different from other children decently dressed. Applicant must live close to work, and open-door hospitality must be enforced in applicant's home. Must be ever mindful that the house doesn't belong to him, directly responsible for views, conduct to all church members and visitors, while not confined to direction or support from any one person. All replies kept confidential. Anyone applying will undergo a full investigation to determine sanity. I was for the most part, awestruck by this ad. And it's kind of funny. There's some funny things in it. But the amazing thing about it is it's really true in most churches across the country. I have sat on pulpit committees. Before I was pastoring, I understand that this was, in a lot of ways, my view of who and what a pastor should be. And many people's expectations have come to be attached to this role of ministry from a pastor, while the biblical aspect of this position is really ignored. It's just set up as what we think. In fact, the job description didn't really mention one key area of a pastor's job. As you heard all of that, not any of it was biblical. It was all an expectation from churches and the people of the church. Today, I want to focus our attention primarily on a really neglected matter that we are missing in so many of our churches across the country, and that's called equipping the saints. I want to talk about equipping today. It was never God's intention for one individual person to meet all the congregation's needs. It never was. Visiting all the sick, comforting those that are hurting, preaching to the lost, or teaching all of the newly converted. Now, there are a lot of that the pastor needs to be involved with and associated with as a member of the body of Christ. But as a pastor, we've got to have a different mindset. And I know I'm speaking from the pastor's heart this morning, being the pastor should model these things, and it's his job to equip the congregation to engage in these things. It's a part of what this morning, before I read our text, the work of the ministry and the building up of the body of Christ. Now, the pastor is to impart what he is and does to the congregation so that they can all be ministers. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And I want to, before I even read this, I want to challenge you with something this morning. If after today, not prior to today, but after today, and what you hear, if someone were to ask you after today, who is your minister at CMC? My prayer is that you would answer them by saying, we all are that go there. Who is your minister? We all are. That is a biblical response. See, ideally, the pastor should be, in essence, working himself out of a job as the church grows because everybody fills in the areas that he can't reach at all times. And I think it's really important for this church to understand these things because as we go to the next level and understand that every time there has been a building project here physically, there has been a building that happened within the congregation because then that opens up more people to be able to use the restroom. It opens up more people to be able to sit. It opens up more people to be able to come to CMA. It opens up more people to be able to come to Leaders Academy. See, if we'd have had 7 Leaders Academy students 10 years ago, we wouldn't have had enough host homes because there wasn't that many families. See, there's got to be, as the church grows, there's got to be people that are being equipped to step into the role of minister. Because everybody that is in the house of God needs to be being equipped. Chapter 4, verse 11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. See, it's not the pastor's responsibility to build up the church. The pastor's responsibility, along with the other fivefold ministries of the church, is to equip God's people to go out and, your version may say, to do the work of the ministry. To do the work of the ministry. It's the job for the church to be ministering. And the fivefold ministry is to equip them to do the ministry. And so that is my heart every time, is to equip everyone that I can to go do the work of the ministry while I'm still doing the work of the ministry. It doesn't exempt me from that. It just says that I'm to train them up. So the only difference between my position in the body of Christ and your position in the body of Christ is no different in how we minister. It's just the equipping. My job is to equip the church to go out and do what I should already be doing. Now, of all of these gifts, four of them, I know it's called the fivefold ministry, but let me just say the pastor is mentioned with the teacher. So pastor / teacher. And a lot of times those are dual roles. You'll hear fivefold ministry. But the first one, the apostles. Let's just briefly go through these. Apostles means someone sent as an authoritative delegate. I like to think of them as the pioneer, the missionary, the mission-minded visionary for the beginning of the church. It's like church planters a lot of times are apostles. Apostles, I can go really deep into this, but I just want to be kind of vague this morning as we understand the different roles. The apostles are necessary. Hetty and Don Brooks, apostles. They had a vision for Christian ministries in 1972. It's very important that they answered the call that God had upon their life for Christian ministries to move forward. And it's ministered to thousands all across the country because of their apostleship. Now, there are times that they have came back in and shared, and actually we're working on getting Hetty to come in and visit here with our church here in the next month or two. So don't miss. I don't want you to be gone the Sunday she's here. I don't know when she's going to get up here. She just kind of, if you know her, she's kind of pops in. And I can't wait to see her. The second one, the prophets. The New Testament prophets provided, get this, edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says a prophet is one who prophesies, strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. These are important qualities of a prophet. A prophet strengthens, encourages, and comforts. Strengthens, encourages, and comforts. If you ever have someone tell you that they're a prophet and they speak into your life and you leave defeated, that wasn't a prophet. I'm just telling you, I've seen it all. Well, I've seen a lot. I probably haven't seen it all. But there are people who say, I'm a prophet, and then when you leave their presence, you're not strengthened, you're not encouraged, and you're not comforted in any way, shape, or form. You're defeated. I don't even know why I joined up for this thing. See, a prophet will make you be on, I'm an overcomer. I can move forward. I can do what God's called me to do, and just know that. That's very important that we have prophet in happening in our church. The next. Well, let me talk a little more about prophet first. In Acts 11:28, in Acts 21:10 through 11, it talks about how they were conveyed into the church, the new revelation of the new covenant being fulfilled. And so I think it's very important that we understand that a prophet will bring an encouragement to the church that the law is not what we are under anymore, but we're appreciative of it. A prophet will help us to understand what Jesus did on the cross that we couldn't do through the law. See, there's things that the prophet comes in and he speaks forth truth that God has already revealed, but he is going to be the person who steps forward and is the voice for the revelation. It's not that he's up here speaking. The prophet's not up here speaking, giving you new revelation. God's already revealed it. See, God's already revealed it. It's already in his word. He's already went to the cross. There's nothing more he needs to do, but you may not know about all of it. And so he's going to be the revealer. He's going to speak forth the truth of the matter. Now, there are times, understand this, that the truth does hurt. But with the truth should come revelation that will be comforting, strengthening, and will build you up. So I just needed to clarify that so as I didn't have come, well, what about, okay, that covers it. Evangelist. Evangelists preached the gospel and served as modern missionaries at home and abroad. Philip the evangelist in Acts 21:8. Ministry is actually short term for the specific church, but they will go out of the church and they will win people into the church. Evangelists, and maybe not the home church, maybe you've got evangelists that go all across the country. You have ones that come specifically out of your church and will work in a specific region. There's not a defining factor that says, okay, you can't do this, this, and this in evangelism, but evangelists know this. They always, 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 if they're coming for evangelism, they always turn people's heart to the church. And they're out of the church. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that will call and say, can I come and minister there? Well, what role are you of the fivefold ministry before you're going to come and minister? Well, we're evangelists. Great. Give me your home church, because I want to know what church you're from, and I want to call the pastor, and I want to make sure you're a tithing member and that the church is supporting your work if you say you come out of the church. I have had that happen. I have pastors that have that happen all the time. Pastor Bubba, down just north of Houston. For those of you that maybe guessed this morning, he is actually a pastor, and that's what they call him. He's at a church that ministers to cowboys, obviously. And so Pastor Bubba, he lives right on the interstate, and people stop by and say, we want to come minister this Sunday all the time. Well, his immediate response is, give me your pastor's name. I want to call and make sure that they support your evangelism and that you are a tithing member of the church. He is yet to have one that will do that, and he's done this countless times, he said. So we've got a lot of evangelists, and I'm just telling you, be careful. We got a lot of people who say they're going out doing the work of the ministry without either coming from a church or pointing people to the church. A ministry not associated with the church, I just have a problem with, because there's a fivefold ministry that's made to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, according to Ephesians chapter 4. So I want to make sure that we're understanding what an evangelist does. And then the fourth one and fifth one together here are pastors and teachers. In the study of the Greek, and I'm not going to get into a lot of that today, the role of pastor teacher is a single function, single person, single function with two aspects. Pastor's the title, teacher's the function. Pastor is what they are to do, but they do it through teaching. Pastor, teacher. Now, why did Christ bless the New Testament church with all of these gifts? Why did he do it? He did it to equip his people to go out and do the work of the ministry and increase the church. That's why he did it. He did it so that he could move here on earth the body of Christ, show himself as real. And we've got to start showing God as real by pointing people to Christ, because we are the embodiment of Christ on this earth. The purpose of these gifted leaders in all of these, the fivefold ministry, the purpose of these gifted leaders is to prepare the rest of the saints to go out and build the church. That's what they're to do. Now, I think about that all the time. This is a verse that just always is in me, and it guides me in what I'm doing, because that is my role that God's called me to and my gifting. The pastor teacher is like the trigger mechanism that sets the process of the growth of the kingdom here on earth in order. And I am watching what's going on across our country, and I'm saddened by the churches that are falling because they put all of the role of ministry into a title instead of the title equipping the people for the role of ministry. See, there's got to be something that happens that's biblical in God's house. The church has to function biblically, or what chance does the world have? The church, let me just say this, has to quit functioning traditionally and start functioning biblical. There's nothing wrong with tradition, but there's everything wrong with tradition when it overrides biblical. Everything wrong with it. The pastor's task is to equip the saints. If he's doing that, then there should be evidence in the church of that very thing. And so as I was preparing this morning, I was asking the Lord, is there evidence? Is there evidence in this church of people being equipped? Is there evidence in our youth ministry? If you're walking in a role of pastor, teacher, what are the evidences of what you're doing? And I had to ask that. See, I want to know that there are evidences of spiritual growth. So here is the thing. I broke down the word equip. I wanted to know what equip means. Because if I'm going to get the evidence, I have to know what it means for me to equip the church. What does equip mean? It means this. It means to mend. It means to prepare. It means to build up. Get excited. I mean, really, you ever see Melanie up here building up? I mean, she builds up the church. I mean, she gets excited and sometimes just can't contain it. She'll start screaming, "Woo!" I mean, woo-hoo. I had to do that for the... So she gets excited. I want to be able to get the people excited and build them up. Josh came up here this morning and he said, "Wait, how excited are you at a sports event when your team gets the last goal? How excited are you in victory that Christ has made available in your life? Are you walking that out every day? If you're not, then what I've got to do is back up and say, how can I equip you to do that?" Because that's what we've got to do, is we've got to equip. Equip means to enable for function or to train. It means perfecting or making fully qualified for service. The classical language of equip, get this, I love this, is used for setting a bone during surgery. Setting a bone during surgery, getting it fit into place so it can be used. Get it in the right place. Have you ever had a bone that was in the wrong place? My dad had a bone in the wrong place. He had it come out of a socket, and that socket joint was down. And I mean, you'd look at him, and his shoulder was down here. I'll never forget the time this happened. I had given him one of our four-wheelers to ride, and that was a bad mistake. I should not have given him the four-wheeler to ride. He came back riding with one hand. It was his left shoulder, and he had been going along and fell. And when he fell, he was thrown into a tree, and his shoulder hit the tree. It knocked his arm out of socket. If you've ever seen anybody with their arm out of socket, it looks weird. And it is very painful to the person whose arm's out of socket. So Dad comes back. I little side road just to tell you a story. He comes back and says, "My arm is broke." I said, "I think it's out of socket, but it's got to be put back in place." And so I was like, "I can do this. I want to do this." Somehow all of my past kind of came back to all the training that I had got physically. And so I thought, "Oh, but I better not. He is in pain," and it was kind of hurtful to see your dad in pain. And so I said, "We probably better go to the doctor, although if you want me, try." And so anyway, we go to the doctor, and we get there, and we're sitting in the room, and the doctor said, "All right, Mr. Ellison," my dad, "I'm going to give you some pain medication, but I can't put you to sleep. You have to be awake for this procedure. But the pain medication will help a little, and the other thing that I'm going to give you will make you not remember any of this happened." I thought, "Huh?" And he said, "And you're his son, right?" And I said, "Yep." And he said, "You might want to step out of the room. You won't want to see this." And I said, "Can I stay in here?" And he said, "Really?" I said, "You wouldn't believe the pain this man's put me through. I'm going to watch this." It was painful. It was painful watching. I wished I'd have stepped out. But they got his arm back in place. And you know, as soon as they did, and he kind of came out of his drogginess, and I said, "Do you remember any of that?" He goes, "Nope." And I said, "Good." I said, "Let me tell you about it." I'm glad he didn't remember. But anyway, so we're headed back. But you know, as soon as it was put back in place, he was fine. He wasn't hurting. He was good again. It's just like a complete relief came over him. Well, I started thinking that doctor's exactly what a pastor's called to do. See, if a bone's out, if something's out of place, they're to help bring that thing back in so it can go back and be used. When Jesus walked out on the Sea of Galilee, he saw the two pairs of brothers, Peter, Andrew, and James, and John sitting in a boat. They were busy. They were doing something. What they were doing, the Bible says, is they were mending their nets. The word mending that it uses in this scripture when they were mending their nets, that is the same word that's translated equipping. They were mending their net. They were equipping their nets for work. They were equipping their nets to get them ready to be used. They were fixing, they were preparing. That's what equipping is. Come on, if you're hurt, if you're torn, if whatever it is, the role of the church and the fivefold ministry of the church is to get you back where you can get out there and get after it. We're to be fishers of men. Well, it's hard to fish without a net. Get your net working. The job of the pastor teacher, in particular, as well as the other gifts, are essential in getting people ready to live the Christian life. So anyone trying to live life as a Christian outside of the church, you got to know, isn't placing themselves in a position to get equipped. And that's very important to be said. The evidences, let me just talk about a few of these this morning. The first evidence that should be present in the church under correct equipping is people living Christ-like. People living Christ-like. An equipped congregation should have Christ-like people in it. Verse 13, chapter 4, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The second evidence is stability. Equipped people are stable. They're stable. Verse 14, we'll no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. Or let me just say, they're stable and they're not prone to gossip. They're not prone to letting a little area of frustration or even a big area of frustration remove them from the equipping. They're stable. They're stable. Third one, of the evidence of spiritual growth, the third one is that truth and love are married to each other in their life. Truth and love. You know, we get a lot of people, and I'm not talking about here, but in the Christian faith, that those two things are out of balance. Truth and love. There's a balance there. Between truth and love. See, if you're all about the truth and confronting all the wrongs with no love, then you're not being equipped properly and you're not going to be able to go out there and win someone else. All you're going to do is go out there and tell everybody how they're dying and going to hell and sin's horrible. And you go out and just try to preach the law all the time and see how that works for you. People are going to get away from you. They're not going to listen. And then people like that will say, well, even Jesus had him spit in his face. Even Jesus had this. Even Jesus had. I get all that. But if you are all truth and no love, and love doesn't mean that we evade the truth. It just means that we love while sharing the truth. See, there has to be a balance that you're equipped with. Who would want to be around someone who approaches spiritual life and the things of God with no love? Come on, Christian people ought to be loving. On the other hand, if you're all about love and mercy, you'll never hold anyone accountable to the truth. There's got to be a balance. Equipping people will help them to understand that they have to be bold in truth and abundant in love. There's got to be both. 4:15, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Number four, the fourth evidence of spiritual growth, of a proper equipping is cooperation. cooperation. Let me say it like this. Can you just get along? Come on. Can you just get along? It just unnerves me, the frustration that is in the church. That frustrates me, the frustration. I just want everybody to get along. Can we just get along? And right now, I'm obviously talking about this in hopes that we've got a church that's equipped and does get along. Verse 16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body's healthy, growing, and full of love. How can the people of Christian Ministries Church become Christ-like, stable, truth and love-honoring, and cooperative people? I want to bring you back to the operative phrase from the text. How can we? We can do that. We can do that so that we can do the work of the ministry. We need equipped. Come on, church. We need equipped.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.